Good morning to everybody. So I don't know if you were attentive, but all of the readings have kind of one common theme. The first reading, the reading from the letter of St. James. And St. James, by the way, is always really cool. So if you never pay attention to anything else during the Mass, if there's a reading from the letter of St. James, you got to listen, okay? And then, of course, the Gospel. And the common theme is this. It has to do with the Word of God. Now you think about it, we are a religion of revelation. What does that mean? It means that we don't make up the religion, it is revealed to us. It means God speaks to his people. And when we encounter the Word of God, like in sacred scripture, St. Paul says the Word of God is living and active. It is able to penetrate between the joint and the marrow and everything. That means it's something alive and it is meant to transform us. So if we want to be men and women who really live the Word of God, there's three different things that the readings point out to us if you combine them all together. The first one is pretty simple. Listen to the Word of God. We have to be men and women who place ourselves in contact with the Word of God. Actually, if you're in Israel, the most important commandment for the Jewish religion is the famous Shema O Israel, listen Israel. When they asked Jesus, you know, what is the most important commandment in all of the sacred scripture, he said, he began with, somebody doesn't agree with me back there, but he began with the commandment that everyone knew. He said the one that he was supposed to say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. Therefore, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, etc., etc., etc." But the very beginning is listen. The reading from the book of Deuteronomy is kind of Moses' last will and testament. That whole book is Moses, who knows he's at the end of his life, and he starts saying, "Remember all the things God did for you." And he starts going through their whole history, and he keeps repeating to them, "Study this, read it, pray over it, teach it to your children." Now, here's now I get to embarrass all of you, okay? You don't have to raise your hands, but if I see your feet start shuffling and I see you start getting red, I will know. How many of you? Normally I include myself, but actually I do this one, so I'm exempt. How many of you every day read the readings from the Mass? Awkward silence. How many of us read the readings of the Mass, for example? And, you know, back in the day, we were excused because unless you owned the Missal or something like that, you probably weren't going to do it. Today, we all have cell phones. I guarantee you, there are 6 million apps and websites where you can go to if you want to read the readings for the daily readings for the Mass. Now, if you and I expect that we are going to be shaped by the Word of God and we don't even know it, dream on. To quote my sixth grade teacher, "What did you smoke for breakfast?" Okay? If we think that the Word of God is going to make a meaningful difference in our lives and we don't even have a clue what it is, good luck. Good luck. You know, how many of us have Protestant friends who come to us and start quoting Bible passages and reciting scripture and telling, you know, and making us embarrassed and everything because we have no clue what they're talking about? And they come up with some argument and they say, "Well, it sounds good to me." Now, granted, they don't necessarily read it in context. They may just take segments. They may not have the theology that to be able to understand it properly, all that. But how many of us legitimately can make an intelligent response when somebody challenges on our faith using a Bible passage? Crickets. Okay, there's a kid. He's okay, this guy, he knows. This is the real deal. That's why you and I are going to become best friends after this Mass. I want to get to know you. Too bad. See, you shouldn't have raised your hand. Now, Father Erickson, I'm going to enter your life and annoy you. Okay, if we do not have living contact with the Word of God, we simply don't know the faith. So my invitation is going to be this. And this is not going to be very difficult. This is going to cost you about a few minutes of your day. So out of the 24 hours that you get in a day, you know, I don't remember how many minutes it is, but thousands of minutes that we have in a day, if you can spend maybe five of them between reading the readings, which usually will take you like 2 minutes, and then actually reflecting on them and talking to God about them for another 2 or 3 minutes, that can be a game changer. If we don't, then the Word of God really doesn't mean a lot to us. It doesn't change us. Okay, and that leads to the second point. Okay, the Word of God, it's not enough just to know the Word of God if we don't do anything about it, right? So I have an example I like to use. I have lived in, or at least spent time in, the United States, different parts of the U.S., Italy, the Philippines, Mexico, okay? And it's interesting that for some strange reason, the more quote-unquote culturally Catholic a country is, the less the gospel seems to actually affect their day-to-day living. And I'll give you an example. The way we drive, now Americans actually are quite good drivers. We're probably amongst the best drivers in the world. We're law-abiding, we're generally respectful and whatnot. We follow rules and things flow. I have been, everyone who knows me knows that I love the Philippines. I lived 9 years in the Philippines. And because I love the Philippines, I also love to make fun of the Philippines because that's just what I do. If I'm making fun of you, it's my way of showing affection, okay? So here goes. When I was in the Philippines, they were ranked third worst traffic in the world was Metro Manila. But bronze medal was not good enough for them, so last time I checked in, they now are the gold medal winners. The worst traffic in the planet, according to the surveys, is in Manila. And I don't doubt it. I have driven on sidewalks, I have driven the wrong way, and because the police told me to. So this is not even just because I was like going rogue or something. This is like, okay, if you want to get a culture, one of the best ways to understand a culture in a snapshot is drive there for a day. You'll learn a lot, okay? So when you're in the Philippines, one of the funny things, like when I first arrived there, and this is one of my classic homily points when I would go to a new place, because I'm clearly a foreigner, and I would say, when you come to the Philippines as a priest, you think you've landed in Catholic paradise. Like, I go to the bank, and there's a statue of the Sacred Heart in the corner, and I go to the mall, and a lot of the malls have chapels, and I drive down the road, and they've got these things called jeepneys. Okay, Google it, jeepney. Like the word Jeep, J-E-E-P-N-E-Y, hilarious. It's one of the most common forms of transportation. It's this big elongated World War II Jeep with an open door that people just jump in and out, and it's hilarious. Well, the jeepneys are all privately owned, and each person's jeepney is totally unique. They're decorated however they want. So you literally will see like the Wolverine and the Incredible Hulk and the Sacred Heart of Jesus all side by side. And you're thinking, okay, even the jeepneys are speaking to me about religion, and they will probably say something like, God bless you all. And then the guy drives like he worships the devil. But anyway, it has, at least the jeepney looks like it's religious, okay? So what is the point? The point is, if we don't put it into practice, if our culture, even if we read the Bible and everyone is baptized Catholic, if it is not reflected in what we do, the way we act, the way we treat each other, the way we drive, all those things, it doesn't mean a whole lot. It's just like pouring water on a rock. That was Mahatma Gandhi's criticism of Christianity, by the way. He said, Christians are like the rocks in this riverbed. This rock is surrounded by water, which is like good doctrine and everything, and you break it open and it's dry inside. Well, it's an unfair analysis, but for some of us it's true. Some of us it's true, okay? There's no point in being immersed in great doctrine and great messages if we don't let it change us. And that's point three, is the Word of God is meant to, therefore, transform our hearts. Because even being a rule follower is not necessarily enough. I'll give you an example. I don't try to normally make myself the good guy in the stories, but hey, this is twice in the same homily. I talk about myself in a positive light. That doesn't normally happen. Okay. When I was in grade school, I went to Catholic grade school and public high school. So Catholic school, you know, like 25, 30 kids per grade, typical, okay? I was known, this is gonna shock you, I was known to be a troublemaker, okay? So I was that kid. In fact, in the eighth grade, when we used to have, there's our eighth grade teacher, we would always do a passion play. So Holy Week would be coming up right before Easter, and the eighth grade, we would put on this passion play, really badly done. They were almost embarrassingly bad, but anyway, we did it. Guess who got 30 out of 30, including his own vote, to be Judas? I am the only priest. In fact, I'm the only religious vocation of any sort out of that classroom. Now, I had plenty of people who were the goody two-shoes in the class. A lot of them aren't even Catholic anymore. Go figure. Does that mean following rules is not important? But it means, no, following rules is important, but it means it's not enough. If following the rules doesn't change us, then the Word of God has still not really done its job. The Word of God is meant to convert our hearts. I live with a priest who goes down to New York City all the time, and he helps out in Old St. Pat's in Little Italy. So down there, there's this guy who likes to challenge him on the faith. You know, he's walking down the sidewalk, and he's always coming up and kind of quasi-assaulting him. Hey, Father, if your church is so good, and he's, you know, one of these disgruntled ex-Catholics, I guess. So one time he actually puts this challenge to Father Daniel. He says, look, the gospel says if I smack you on one cheek, you're supposed to turn the other cheek. So here goes. And Father Daniel dutifully gives him the other cheek. And at that point, Father Daniel takes off his jacket, starts rolling up his sleeves, and goes, hey, what are you doing? The gospel said I have to turn the other cheek. It didn't say a word about what's going to come next. It didn't really happen, okay? So don't be scandalized. but could we honestly say, if that had been a true story, that the gospel would have really changed Father's heart? Sure, he would have followed the rules, the gospel said, turn the other cheek. But was his heart changed? No. The guy turns around and cold cocks him, okay? He is still not truly converted. And the same thing is true of each of us. The gospel is meant to change our hearts. So I'm going to recap this, okay? Just like a good school teacher, I have somebody in education staring me down, so I have to do like a good school teacher. I'm going to give you a recap. Three stages. One, regular contact with the Word of God. And I'm going to challenge each person in this church, and I pass the test because I do it all the time anyway. Every day this week, find an app, or go to the website or whatever, find the daily readings for Mass every day, read them and reflect on them for at least 3, 4, 5 minutes, okay? That's your homework. If you do so, you might just find your life starts to change for the better. Number two, when you read the Word of God, it's supposed to change the way we behave. And number three, if we start changing the way we behave because of the Word of God, it might just change our hearts. And in that case, we might just actually become good Catholics, who might just become saints, who might just get cool places in heaven. And that's kind of the point of the whole thing anyway. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.